It seems like ever since about, I don't know, Halloween, as I was out in the stores, you began to hear Christmas music being played. And you know it's Christmas music because at least at some point it might mention the word Christmas or at least something about snow. Or I've got to think that there's some service you can subscribe to that will give you hundreds of Christmas songs that are considered acceptable, that in no way mention Jesus or Mary or anything to do with Christmas, that you can get a whole set of those kind of songs. And I think we as Christians, but especially as Catholics, we have an even greater challenge because technically, it's not even Christmas yet for us. If you consider the small pool of Christmas songs, we have the rather interesting challenge of coming up with Advent songs as well. And if you thought it was hard to find something besides Santa Baby, imagine trying to find an Advent song at Walmart. Good luck. But if we're to think of, you know, our favorite Advent songs, and I'm sure you've all got your top 10 Advent songs, good luck with that. But probably, we could say, well, you've got O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That's clearly an Advent song. And it is. And beautifully, we sang it here tonight, and we love that song. It's actually from a traditional Latin chant that has made its way into English, and we sing it during Advent for about the coming of Emmanuel. But notice that's just one of the titles that's used in that song. What you might not be aware of is actually each verse of that song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, encaptures one title for the coming of the Messiah, O something. O Emmanuel is one of them, but these antiphons that all begin with O have come to be known in the church as the O antiphons. It's a technical term, I know, but that's what we've called them, the O antiphons. And basically from December 17th until December 24th, each night at Vespers or evening prayer, there's an antiphon that comes right before the chanting of the Magnificat. And those days from December 17th to the 24th, each night the antiphon is O something, in a title of the coming Messiah. For instance, it begins on the 17th with O Wisdom, a title that maybe we don't think is a Christmassy kind of title, but we recognize, you know, okay, Jesus is wisdom incarnate. We pray, come, O Wisdom. And they go on, and we've celebrated O Key of David and Desire of Nations. And it was interesting because I've been writing on my little board over at the office. I got a whiteboard on my door, and I've been writing each day what the O antiphon is for that day. And I got a question the other day because someone came in and they saw that I had O Adonai written on my board and stopped and said, what's Adonai? I'm like, well, glad you asked. That's why I wrote it up there. It's kind of a little Advent trap, if you will. Adonai, you might recall the story of Moses in the burning bush when God reveals his name. Moses famously asks God, what is your name? If people ask, what will I tell them? And God says, my name is I Am. And in Hebrew, that name would have been expressed by four consonants, YHWH in English letters, YHWH. And those four letters are known famously as the Tetragrammaton, or just the four letters, because they are the name of God. Now notice Hebrew has no vowels, so we probably think that that word would have pronounced probably something like Yahweh. Probably you've heard that name. That is the Hebrew word for I am who am. It is God's name. But because the Ten Commandments that Moses received also command that we shouldn't take God's name, Yahweh, in vain, the Israelites decided fairly early on that in order to avoid accidentally taking the name of Yahweh in vain, well, know what, we just won't use his name at all. In fact, every time we see Yahweh in the Hebrew Scriptures, instead of saying Yahweh, we will say Lord instead. And the Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. Adonai means Lord. And so anytime you would read Yahweh, you would say instead, O Adonai. That is the origin then of this O antiphon. It comes to us in English in that verse, O come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height, in ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. O come, great Lord, O Adonai, Lord of might. Notice it recalls the giving of the Ten Commandments. We're saying that Jesus, who comes at Christmas, is the same God who appeared on Mount Sinai, who in ancient times did give the law. Sometimes we make the mistake, I think, of thinking that, well, in the Old Testament, there was that mean, kind of vengeful God who came down in fire and smoke on mountains and just tried to smite people. You know, but then Jesus came and it was all kind of warm and fuzzy and, you know, as if there was the good God came down. Like, you know, there's Glenda the good witch and then there's the bad witch. There's not two gods. There's not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. There's only one God. And the same Adonai, Yahweh, who appeared on Mount Sinai, is the little babe that is born for us at Bethlehem. Never is that more clear than actually in our gospel today. We have the famous story of the visitation, which on its surface looks like a nice thing maybe that Mary did. When she was told by Gabriel that she was pregnant, you might remember, she was also told that Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Well, Mary, being the charitable person that she was, it says she hurried off to go see Elizabeth. And then I think we experience what is probably one of the most beautiful encounters in all of Scripture. Because as Mary draws near, Elizabeth indicates that even before Elizabeth can get a word out, that John the Baptist in her womb is leaping for joy. He knows that Jesus has come. The fathers of the church tell us that long before they could even recognize the voice of their mothers, John the Baptist recognized the presence of Jesus. Now look what Elizabeth says. It says, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Some people argue about the Hail Mary prayer, when really it's just Luke's gospel. There it is, right there. But then she says something very controversial, even, shall we say. She says, And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? No good Jew in the first century would miss this part of the gospel. Elizabeth directly calls Mary the mother of Adonai. Mary is the mother of the God who appeared on Mount Sinai. Think about how deeply theological that is. It's clear that Elizabeth is also filled with the Holy Spirit. Her words are meant to point to the truth of who this child is that will be born. It also echoes the great transfer of the ark in the Old Covenant when David brings the ark to Jerusalem. It stays for 3 days in the house of Obed-Edom. And he says famously when the ark comes to him, Who am I that the ark of my Lord should come to me? We're meant to see that Mary, who now contains Adonai, the great I am in her womb, far surpasses even what the ark of the Old Covenant ever was. The Ark of the Old Covenant symbolized God's presence. It contained, in the end, just manna, the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron. But Mary, the new Ark, actually contains God within her. She is the mother and, dare we say, the tabernacle of Adonai, the great Lord of might. I love this encounter, not just because we see the great joy of these children, but it also, I think, points us to, if ever we as Christians could doubt, you know, is a child in the womb really a person? Not only, clearly, does every Christian have to acknowledge, yes, children in the womb are people, but they're even capable of experiencing grace. These children in their wombs are more aware of their presence than even their mothers are. As we get ready to celebrate, then, the great birth of the most famous baby in history, we're perhaps drawn in by this beautiful joy of the childhood of Jesus. The little John the Baptist, often in art, is pictured next to his little cousin Jesus, and they play so joyfully together, and it almost disarms us a little bit to God's presence. But this, O Antiphon, O Adonai, the greeting of Elizabeth, my Lord has come to me, should also remind us that this little child that comes is not just a little baby. This little child is destined, as Simeon will tell us, for the rise and the fall of many. He will be great. His name is Jesus, which means he will be a great savior. This little baby who is born at Christmas and will be adored by the whole world in a couple days. We mustn't forget who he really is. He is much more than just a little child. He is the great Adonai, the great I Am, God with us, Emmanuel, come in the flesh. May we be prepared to welcome the great Lord of Might at his coming as a little baby this Tuesday.